I want us to look this morning at the reading we had from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and the parable that is told from verse 6 to verse 9. This fig tree that was barren and the action that was proposed against it. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. We gather here in church, and as we do so, God speaks with us. He constantly breaks into our lives, and he never leaves us comfortable in our own complacency or darkness. And that's as it should be. He challenges us on so many different points, because we have a different agenda and we have different priorities to the woes the Lord has set for us. And that's one example that we have here in the verses before our reading. There was the provocation by the people of our Lord. There was something that happened in these days in the sacrifice and with the tower that fell in Siloam. And they, the people, were trying to distract or to involve the Lord in a political battle and infighting with Pilate. They were trying to stir the pot and to provoke the Lord into doing something. And not once, but twice, the Lord cuts across that kind of distraction. And he sets clearly for them and for us the priority that he has and sees as most important. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There is this one thing, a whole series of spiritual priorities which the Lord sets before us from time to time. So therefore we should not dull the voice of God that speaks to us. We can so quickly go out from our service and we can forget, and we can let the impression of the moment pass from us. We can be gathered here or in other places before God, brought to a heightened spiritual concern. We can be aware that God is with us and dealing with us and speaking to us. We hear a spiritual message coming into our souls, and yet we can go and we remain just as we came. Anything that's said through the sermon, any kind of recollection that we have later on, something that's given to us and taken out of the memory by our parents or family friends, something that's come in a letter, in a conversation, so many different avenues of God's word comes to us. But the moment passes, and life settles down again. The crisis is swallowed up in ordinary everyday living. The priority which is set before us as God speaks to us, but the way in which we sometimes deal with and respond to that priority. And so the Lord breaks in and speaks and sets it before us here that we need to repent. But not only do we need to repent, that is focused further and sharpened more in our mind and our thinking by this parable which is told us here. We are told not only to repent, but we are told that we need to do it now. All of us are conscious of the passing of time. That comes home to us particularly just now as we've crossed the threshold from 1 year into the next. That's the public marker. But all of us have our own private markers also. Birthdays, anniversaries, memorials. They're all very private and personal to us, but they all come to us with the same effect, emphasizing and bringing home to us that time is passing, and time is a one-way street. We don't get any more of it, and we've got to therefore use well what we're given. We are told by the psalmist to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom, because we're not getting any more. And what we've got is going through our fingers like the grains of sand on a beach. The time that is given to us is getting smaller and smaller, fewer and fewer. So therefore, let's best use the days that are given to us. Don't delay. That's the message which the Lord had for these people and for us today. Don't put off the things which are important for us. Don't let the life that now unfolds as we enter into a new year smother, swamp these things that God is saying to us. That's the lesson of the barren fig tree that I want us now to consider. And the first thing I want us to see here is the way in which we are told of past blessings. Let it alone, this is verse 8. Lord, let it alone this year also. There has been in the past from this man a sparing of the tree. This is not the first time that he has come looking for fruit. And other years he has come looking for it and has found no fruit upon this fig tree. And we can be very similar to that ourselves. We've known the patience of God in sparing us in the past, and that patience bringing us together here now, today. The way in which the fig tree is cultivated has a very great, good application to us. Whenever it's planted, there is no fruit appears or is seen or even expected in the first 3 years. The fourth year is the year when it begins to produce fruit, and that fruit, the first fruit of it, is devoted and dedicated to the Lord God. So we've got years 5, 6, and 7. And we're now in the 7th year after this tree has been planted and the person has come looking for fruit. 3 years, 5th, 6th, and 7th year, looking carefully around the tree, waiting, dealing with it in patience, but none fruit has been found. And therefore the man comes, cut it down. A waste of space. There's nothing there of fruit. Nothing there to leave it a moment longer. Past blessings. This year also, the patience of God. At the New Year time, we stand on a high spot. We look back down through the path of life we've taken. We have the opportunity to look back and to survey just how we have grown, where we've been, what we have done. This year also, let's look back and see past blessings of God's patience, His patience in dealing with us. Let the eye from that point, that vantage point, roam right down the valley. Look right down the valley to the beginning of our journey and our pilgrimage. Go back to the youngest of days in our lives. How have they been spent? We came out of life, we emerge to be our own person and our own in charge of our own life, and we stood there at the threshold of life. And we looked at all of the possibilities that stretched and roamed in front of us in young and impressionable days. Which way then did we go? Where did we run to? Was it well done, these young days, or were they badly wasted? We can look back over misspent years. We can look back at our energy given to so many different experiences. But how many of these experiences and impressions have been good? And of the good ones, how many of them have remained with us? Young years, young days, when we've developed habits, when we've lost feelings, when we have been determined to go our own way. Perhaps these impressions, these moldings of our lives have been slow and spread over a few of these young years. None of them have been noticed by others round about us. But our God has seen them. And our God has noted them. And despite all of the misuse of these young years, God has spared us this year also. We don't know how much time we've got left. We can all of us look back over class pictures, friends of years and years and years ago. And as we do so, we find that there is a growing number of empty spaces. People who are no longer with us. And they themselves bring home the lesson that we have here this year also. God sparing us as he has spared us in the past. The youngest dears. And then the tree grows and develops and begins to take on maturity. Life becomes established for us. We begin to develop patterns. Our lives begin to take on a mold and a shape. And we begin to go in a certain direction. We begin to think and reflect a bit more rather than just simply acting and reacting on the spur of the moment. And even in these maturing days, we still have to ask the question, what mold are we now set in? And what habits have we developed? And what direction are we going in? Do not abuse the patience of God that we can see as we look back down the valley. This year also, how many of them can we see as we look down through the days of our life? And the longer we've journeyed and the longer that we've traveled, the more of them we can see. Even as we come perhaps to the end or close to the end of our allotted span, we can see yet more of these years that God has spared us and given to us. Past blessings. And they pile up as our eye roams up the valley to where we presently are. The blessings that God has given us. The ways in which he has spoken to us time and time and time again in the past. When we've been to these crucial, spiritual, challenging moments, when there has been a heightened concern with us, when something of God's word has broken into our lives, and we can look back down the valley, and we can see down the years of our days, and we can see the markers when that has happened, and we haven't been changed. We're still the same. The past blessings that God has dealt with us, when we've let these concerns pass by us, when we've let them go by us, and we haven't used them well. The past blessings, years 5 and 6, when the man has come looking for fruit of the tree. This year also, as he spared them in the past. But the second thing I want us to take out of this is not only the past blessings that we've experienced, but think now of the present privileges that are in store for us. After so many years of patience, after so many years of blessing, no fruit. The owner is prepared to put the axe or the saw in and to remove it totally and to have it out of the ground. And just as he's about to order that, something intervenes. The pleading of the person who's tending the trees pleads with him, give it another year. That kind of behavior we engage in all the time in our own gardens when we see something that's perhaps been there for a while and it's never come up to the expectation we've had about it, and we've looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, and then one year it just comes to the point, right, out with it this year. And just as we're about to do it, we'll just give it one more year. That's the kind of experience that is set before us here. That's the kind of situation that we're in. The delaying of the Lord in his patience. And that's what Paul writes of and speaks and sets before us in Romans 2 and verse 4. The patience of God in dealing with us. The way in which the Lord gives us this opportunity this year again, as he has in the past, as he speaks with us and brings home to our minds and to our souls spiritual truths and realities. We've said it before and we need to repeat it. These delays of patience, this delay of the Lord in dealing with us, it's not approval of the lifestyle that we've adopted or created. It's not the Lord looking down and letting us go on as we are. Instead, he has come, and in patience he is dealing with us and setting before us this message of the gospel time after time after time. And he's telling us of the way of life, and he's telling us of his priority, and he's telling us of the requirements he sets before us. We've seen them already at the beginning of this chapter. Repentance mingled with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of joy and of a fullness of life that he holds out to us. And especially as we come out of the Advent, Christmas, New Year season. So many heightened expectations and so many disappointments. And all the while the echo of the Lord's word comes down to us as a nation and as peoples. That he is the one who has the gift of eternal life. Life in all of its fullness and abundance. That which we've been looking for, searching for over these past few days as a nation and as a people. So elusive, never finding it. But hear the Lord before us this morning speaking to us and saying to us that what we need and what we're looking for is his to give in his grace to those who ask it from him. The delay the Lord has in putting the axe in, cutting down the tree, the delay the Lord gives to us. And what is to happen? What is it that comes about in these delayed days that now stretch in front of us? We don't know how long they are, but the Lord has spared us to another new year. What we're told here? The man is going to dig it. He's going to loosen the ground round about the tree to allow root growth and development. To let the air, the water in, to allow the maximum benefit and possibility to this tree. To those areas that don't see or get any food, there is this digging and loosening round about to promote development. We are all private people. We are all private to different degrees. And perhaps there's a private area in our life, very personal area, that the Lord is touching and digging down to reach. An area that we're holding on to very tightly. But the Lord is prizing it open. Using maybe different means to achieve that end. But areas of our lives that have been shut and boxed up for many a year. And the light of His Word floods in. Bible teaching reaches areas that we've closed off for many a year. There are depths to our life. There are things in our memories in our lives that have been shut off and shut down. Dry, arid areas. But now, as the Lord digs, as the Lord loosens the ground round about your life and mine, there's water beginning to seep in. We're beginning to think and we're beginning to apply what God is saying in a way that we've never done it before. We have new experiences. As we come to services, as we read God's Word, as we remember what God has said in the past, these things are beginning to touch our lives that we never expected. We try to shut them down, but we cannot. The Lord is digging, loosening, so that we develop and grow. But also, whenever you want to dig something, or at least whenever you dig, sometimes it's to move something. It's in the wrong place, this plant. It's in the wrong area. It's in the wrong aspect. And for growth, for development, it needs to be moved. Maybe that's what the Lord is doing with our lives as well. The wrong place, the wrong company, the wrong people. Things that might be holding us and hindering us and keeping us back. The vine dresser puts in the spade. Just the same way as in John 15, we are told about the pruning of the branches, the cutting away of the dead wood, or the things that are wrong in our lives. The digging. That kind of work that the Lord God brings about in your life and mine. The way in which He comes in, breaks in, never leaves us comfortable where we are with what we're doing, but shows to us constantly the things that need to be removed, as well as the areas that need to be improved. Digging. But not only digging, we're also told of feeding. Let me dung it also. He feeds the ground. Food is needed for growth. We know that. That's patently obvious to us all day by day. And we know of the way in which God's Word comes, clear and simple, to our soul. The way in which the Lord speaks with us, meets with us day by day, and the way in which the Lord comes to us even now here. The way in which He meets with us in our service and through the ministry of His Word. Sometimes there are new and fresh glimpses of the truth. We're given a clearer understanding of our experiences and the way the Lord is dealing with us. Sections of Scripture open up for us and are applied to us. The overtures of grace and the overtures of mercy are seen as they've never been seen before. The Lord alone dealing with us. The Lord speaking to us. Bringing His Word home to our souls and to our hearts. Feeding us. Spiritual truths that we've never known before. Challenging us in our knowledge, in our experience. He comes, He delivers, He provides, He protects. There are times when the gentleness of the Lord, when we expect some judgment because of something wrong that we've done, so many different avenues, so many varieties of ways, the Lord feeds our soul, speaks to us. And as we go from one year into the next. Surely there is the appropriate time to count our mercies and to see the innumerable ways in which the Lord has been good to us. The way in which we have so a rich an inheritance, each one of us on our own. We've been singing there of the mercies of the Lord. They're like the sand on the seashore. We just simply cannot count them. There are so many of them. That's the feeding. The feeding that the Lord has given to us. And that's what he does to us constantly when we gather together here in church. When we listen to and read our Bibles. And when we read profitable and good books and biographies. Yes, there's been past blessings. Now there are these present privileges. What's going to happen in this coming year? What are the prospects that now stretch before us? We can wish each other a good new year. We can wish each other a happy or a prosperous new year. But what are the spiritual prospects which the Lord looks for as we go into this new year? We have the requirements set before us. The priority we've already highlighted of repentance, of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the one feature and characteristic which the Lord looks for and values in the life of any one of us. His eye roams over the whole of the world. He looks into the lives and into the hearts of every one of us deeply and completely. There is nothing that can be hid from him. He is the one who knows us and judges us perfectly and assesses us fully. We cannot hide then. And as we come underneath his scrutiny, so the Lord is looking for one particular thing. He is looking for that faith and trust in his Son. And there is an urgency upon us that is highlighted in this parable to use our time well. Things don't go on indefinitely for us. There has been and there is a line drawn for us. Perhaps we could remind ourselves of that poem. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path. The hidden boundary between God's patience and his wrath. How far can one go on in sin? How long will mercy spare? Where does grace end? And where begins the confines of despair? An answer from the sky is sent, ye who from God depart, while yet it is called today, repent, and harden not your heart. That is the one thing the Lord is looking for from us in this new year. If we don't heed his lesson, if we don't listen to his word, then we will feel that axe going in against the tree. Go back to the Old Testament and all of the people that came out of the land of Egypt. And they were going, the promise of the promised land was set before them. And there was the same requirement upon them as upon us to trust in the Lord as they entered that new experience. We are called to trust in the Lord as we enter this new year. But they came back with the report of the problems that were in store for them. They were intimidated by that report, and they were put off going into the promised land because they thought that the problems were beyond the ability of God to overcome and to solve. We can argue the same way ourselves as we look at this new year. There's so much to be done, and there's so much that I want to see, and this is that I want to go and do. And there are all these problems that we can stack up, and is the Lord equal to them? And we can sometimes be put off the same as they were put off. But before we go a moment further, look down the road that they travelled. Those who came out of Egypt and to the border of the promised land. And the Lord turned their path round and He sent them into the wilderness. And as they wandered in the wilderness year after year, there is a constant eroding and dropping out from them. There are graves scattered throughout that wilderness period of 40 years of everyone that had refused to trust in the Lord. There was that barrenness about them. And so they were removed from life. The warning for us there from Old Testament and from New Testament teaching alike. We want to forget how frail and temporal our life is. We want to forget how limited our lifespan can be. And so we get embroiled and involved with so much that's going on about us by way of distraction. The distraction these people engaged in at the very beginning with our Lord. And we need to be reminded time and again of the urgency and the priority of spiritual matters to be right with God. And the Lord speaks to us and He confronts us time and time again in the preaching of the gospel as He's doing it now. And He looks for and He asks one question of us. What is our relationship to Jesus Christ, His Son? What think ye of Christ? That's the one important question. And if the answer can only come from you as God speaks with you. In many ways, this parable is open-ended. We are not given a conclusion 1 year hence down the line. We are not given what the outcome was. We've got to supply our own details. Did it work? The digging and the feeding? Did it work? Did the tree survive? Or was the tree cut down? It's not so much what happened to the tree that's important. The important thing is, what's happening to us? What is happening to us as we go into this new year with these privileges, with these blessings, with the Lord in His patience dealing with us, feeding us, providing, protecting, all of these things, the gentleness of the Lord in dealing with us. So much, so rich an experience, history, so many impressions, so much teaching in our mind, in our lives. What are we doing with all of these things then? The Lord is looking for a response and an answer from us. He's looking for this one particular thing, faith in Jesus Christ, His Son. It's not important what happened to the tree. It's more important what's happening with us. The priority and the urgent priority that the Lord sets in stark focus before us this morning. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God and Lord, as we gather again before Thee in prayer, we come seeking Thy mercy and Thy grace towards us, Thy patience in dealing with us, asking of Thee, O Lord, that Thy word might not only enter our mind and soul, but remain there. We go out into this new year, we go out into this new working week, the first week of the new year. And there are so many pressures that now come to bear down upon us. There's so much that needs to be done, that we see needs to be done. And all of them pose a threat to the message that we receive from Thyself. And so we ask, O Lord, that Thou wouldst seal these words into and upon our hearts, and that we might revisit them and recall them, and that we might remember what Thou hast said to us, and that they would be challenging and powerful. And Lord, especially we pray that they would be gracious words, calling us to faith in Jesus Christ, Thy Son. May Thy blessing be upon each and every one of us here, from the oldest to the youngest. We stand in need of Thy mercy and grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We close our service this morning by singing from Psalm 39, taking up one of the thoughts we just had there of Psalm 39 and at verse 4. Mine end and measure of my days, O Lord, unto me show. What is the same that I thereby my frailty well may know? Lo, thou my days and handbreadth made, mine age is in thine eye as nothing. Sure each man at best is holy vanity. Sure each man walks in a vain show, they vex themselves in vain. He heaps up wealth and doth not know to whom it shall pertain. And now, O Lord, what wait I for? My hope is fixed on Thee. Free me from all my trespasses, the fool's scorn. Make not me.
And now in grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.